Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be bringing you another theater here in New York City. And we are so excited to be talking about their upcoming season. And joining us to do that, we have the artistic director, Tess Howsam, and the founding executive director, Edjo Wheeler. They're here to talk to us about Culture Lab LIC and their 2024 season. We're very excited to be talking about this theater because, of course, friends of the show, What Will the Neighbors Say, are putting their show up, Third Law, which we will be attending very soon. So this is exciting to get to know the theater even more. And with that, let's welcome on our guest, Tess Edjo. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. We're happy to be here.
Really appreciate you giving us this platform.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be talking about you because, as I mentioned, when I got the press release, I was like, wait, Culture Lab LIC, I know that from somewhere. And it was right as I was finishing editing the What Will the Neighbors Say Third Law interview. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they had a season. Let's talk more about this. So this is very exciting.
We have a season.
Yes. So I want to first kind of talk about the company itself. So Edjo, why don't I start with you? You're the founding executive director. Can you tell us a little bit about Culture Lab LIC?
Yeah, definitely. Culture Lab's been a dream of mine literally since I was a teenager. You know, and the idea that there's one place that you can go to see all the arts. There's a place for artists of all the different mediums to riff off of each other and get inspired. Being in metropolitan areas, obviously one of the toughest challenges, especially in New York, is space. Right. So, you know, I grew up in Tucson, Arizona. Anytime we wanted to do a show or work on artwork, you have someone's garage, someone's backyard. There's endless space. In New York, there's none. So the goal was to find a place that we could do whatever we want to, basically. I'm on the board of directors for Long Island City Artists. They're an arts organization, arts advocacy group that's been around since the mid 80s, and they didn't have a home. So we were going around to empty storefronts and literally taking photos of the for lease phone number and calling them up and saying, hey, you know, do you want to do a pop-up art gallery? And I don't know, after about a year of people saying no to us, there's a company called Plaxol. They're a family-run business. Their grandfather basically invented thermoforming, you know, the forming of plastic. And so they've bought up a good portion of the neighborhood around here. They own our block, the block across the street, and a lot of other buildings. And they are huge advocates of art. So when we approached them looking for space, they responded and they say, okay, you can have this old warehouse, but don't get comfortable, right? This was right after Five Points. You know the whole Five Points story? Okay, there. So for those of you who don't, look it up. So Five Points was a really big deal. And it was basically artists taking over a building and not giving it back to the owners. Mm-hmm. So we had a long journey ahead of us to convince the owners that we were not going to be another Five Points. That when it was time to give up the space, that we would go kindly. And so in the beginning, they're like, don't get comfortable. And that was 7 years ago. So now some of their family members sit on my board of directors. They're absolutely the best supporters we could hope for. And that's how this got started. October 2016, we turned this into an art gallery. Culture Lab came a little bit later because LICA is really an arts advocacy group. We needed an umbrella organization. We needed a nonprofit that was going to look at all Western Queens and give space to other organizations. And we'll be, you know, we'll oversee the space because that's really what it's about. A dance company has a really hard time holding on to a brick and mortar. A theater company has a really hard time running their own space. But with Culture Lab, these different groups can come in and out, use our space without having to worry about how to pay for it. Incidentally, Plaxol ended up loving us so much, we don't pay rent. We don't even pay utilities, right? We have this entire space, 12,000 square feet of indoor space. That's three art galleries and three stages inside. Plus, they let us use their 18,000 square foot parking lot that we built a stage out of shipping containers. And now we do outdoor concerts for free all summer long for the community. So it's a really good example of what can happen when real estate supports the arts, and our ability to give back has just grown exponentially.
I think that's brilliant. I love the origin. I love the mission, the goal, all of that. That is just chef's kiss. Now, I want to turn to focus on this year's season. And Tess, I want to come to you on this. So Tess, can you tell us a little bit about the 2024 season?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. So as Ojo said, we are huge supporters of artists across mediums. So we support an entire season that is interdisciplinary. So we have a fine art gallery season, a theater season. We also support dance, education, community programs, and kids programming as well, alongside our music concerts outside. So just so when we look at programming the season is really a focus on core values and missions of Culture Lab, right? We look at how are we going to give back to our community, our local artists? How are we going to reach out and bring in national artists and international artists? So you can see that reflected in our entire 2024 season, starting with, as you mentioned, Third Law, which opens next weekend. That's May 8th, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Andrew. But so that's opening next weekend. And it's an interactive, immersive theater show. And we're very excited about that running all of May. Meanwhile, outside, you're going to have complimentary live music concerts offered for free every Saturday. And inside, we have Shattered. It's a art opening, actually tonight that we're talking to you. It's opening tonight. So we're preparing to open that up in just a few hours. And that is an exhibition that looks at mental health and is a journey through the mind. So our programs sort of are like a trifold and intersect and connect with each other. To that end, we can look at our indoor residency program. We have an emergence artist residency program, which is specific to performing artists of varying mediums. For instance, we have House of Chow, which is a hip hop dance group, and they will be presenting work in our New Works Festival. All four of them will be in our New Works Festival this November. It's the first time we're doing a New Works Festival, which is exciting. And that's in November. We're also going to have Halix doing the Museum of My Heart, which is a performance art music event. And we are going to have contemporary circus as well as shadow puppetry as a part of that show. So just sort of using that festival as a outline in of itself, you know, there are many different types of mediums of performance that we're supporting throughout the season. You know, this year we also did our first jump off of a dance festival called Arise. It's a spring dance festival. We featured six different companies or choreographers' work, and that happened in April. So we're trying to bring in some more dance as well this year. And we're really excited looking into the fall for our New Works Festival. Also, a horror play coming in October. So spooky season will not be forgotten.
I love that. That all sounds exciting. A vast dynamic of work. This is so exciting. To your point again, Edjo, I mean, I love that you've got this cultural haven in the middle of not only New York, but Queens itself. So that's beautiful. Coming back to you, Edjo, on this, I want to start by, let me try that again. Coming back to you first on this, Edra, I want to know, what has it been like developing this year's schedule?
Well, this is the first year that we were really able to start out with a little bit more of a full team. So we basically, Culture Lab, again, started right at COVID. So in April 1st, 2020 is when we launched. And it was basically just me. And it wasn't until about halfway through the summer that we hired back our performing arts director, Tana. And then every year we're like adding another full-time employee. So this is the first year we were able to start with four full-time employees. We actually took January as being dark to plan. And I think it's really had an effect because our mantra that comes from Kaiser's book, Art of the Turnaround, it's great art, well marketed. And we produce probably more arts than any other organization in Queens. And I would put us up against any organization in the city. We are just so prolific in the amount of art that's coming out of this space. And putting together this season, we were for the first time able to book the exhibitions out for an entire year. Taking some of the load off of Tess, she's able to focus more on the performing arts. She's able to focus on the theater and really pick some of the greatest work that we've ever been able to put up here. But it takes planning and it takes staffing.
and a program that I'm really excited about. It's not necessarily performance-based, but working on an arts exchange program. So in our fine arts department right now, developing an art show with an arts institution in Slovakia. So I'm meeting with them and their team, and we're picking four of their fine artists to present pre-existing fine art pieces in dialogue with four New York-based fine artists as well. So these are going to be ranging in mediums from sculpture to installation to photography, and that's just going to be really an exciting exchange that I hope to continue to, as part of my mission as artistic director, to develop these programs and these exchanges. So if this year's Slovakia, maybe next year is Greece, right? You know, like, how can we begin to bridge these international connections? And then also maintaining like our fan favorite in the fine arts, which is our affordable art fair in the wintertime, right? People come out, they support artists by buying art for gifts and presents. And it's just amazing. So yeah, it's been really great to like work on this season and also to balance, right? Like when we're designing a season, I'd like to think of it as sort of almost like a sundae, right? Like an ice cream sundae. There's going to be like the one flavor that everybody kind of can agree on that's like palatable and interesting and delicious. And then maybe we try and like, you know, for our music, as an example, we have jazz. We have a great community of jazz musicians here and such talent and incredible performers. And then maybe, you know, we riff on that and we add a little synth music. We had a synth concert the other night, and that just, you know, expanded our community. And there's, you know, such a range and diverse flavor palette, if we keep going with that metaphor, of the different types of art forms, right? So like even within each like medium, we're trying to also showcase a breadth of work. So that's sort of the goal, right? When designing the season, it can't just be jazz, it can't just be pop. It needs to be something for everybody. And that's really like the balancing point between bringing experimental interdisciplinary art and more classical work inside the same space.
It's a very active, very active space.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, that's great. We'd rather have it be active and busy than slow, right?
Oh, yeah.
No more lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of our favorite things is when we come in here, because the space is divided into different rooms, there's a rehearsal going on in the front. You come into the back, there's another theater show that's loading in. It's beautiful to be surrounded by so much art that's happening, and a lot of it is original. Do you want to talk about like how like a lot of the work is new?
Yeah,
it's developed here.
Yeah, it's either developed at Culture Lab, or it's coming from a couple of workshops and runs elsewhere to be more premiered as a world premiere at Culture Lab, which is such an honor that we get to like birth these shows, so to speak. I think, you know, Edjo comes from a welding sculptural background, which is awesome. And I come from a interdisciplinary immersive theater background. So I think there's something interesting in like the different flavor notes that we bring as artists to the company as well, that's worth noting. And for instance, I'm hoping this year to also develop and produce a short interactive and immersive play festival where folks would have the opportunity to do sort of active play tests. So if you're familiar in the immersive world, you know, we don't typically get to have like dress rehearsals, right? You're like moving bodies through space and seeing how audiences react. So hopefully we'll get to like bring these new, like to Edge's point, these new pieces is to life. And as someone who's deeply entrenched and happy inside of that immersive world, offering a space like Culture Lab that's so multifaceted and dimensional is just a unique playground for any artist, let alone an immersive artist.
That is also fantastic. I'm loving what I'm learning about. This is amazing. So Tess, I want to stick with you first on this because I want to know, is there a message or a thought you're hoping the audiences are going to walk away from this year's shows?
Oh, wow. I thought a lot about at the beginning kind of what, you know, we're walking into a year that, you know, it's an election year. And this is a, shall we say, and this is a hard year for many reasons, right? So I think when designing this year's season, finding that balance between levity and gravity is, you know, always going to be important. But I think this year, looking for audiences more than anything, like why come see art at Culture Lab? Like what makes the work that's being produced at Culture Lab unique? I would say that it all sort of has this interdisciplinary aspect to it, or a sense of nuance in its presentation or category, right? Like you just spoke to Third Law, or What Will the Neighbor Say? And, you know, their new piece, Third Law, is itself a theater piece, you know, kind of exploring creation and using high-end technology, right? So it's tech meets theater. Then if we like fast forward to say the end of the year performance wise, I'm just focusing on, and we look at this horror play, you know, it's a genre that doesn't really get presented on stage as a theater piece. You know, horror is film, but horror can also be theater. So kind of challenging audiences within each medium to have a new lens to examine their relationship to the performance is, I guess, one of my main focuses. And an interesting thing about Culture Lab as an interdisciplinary space, how do we also showcase interdisciplinary artists?
I love that. Edjo, anything you'd like to add?
I mean, this is what we exist for. You know, like everyone who works here wants to hit as many different mediums as possible, right? But we want it to be understandable by the audience. You know, mm-hmm. we want it to be seen as something that the audience is going to be able to grasp. Yeah. We don't want them walking away, kind of scratching their heads and saying, was that art? I mean, I think pretty much across the board, the work that's presented is of very high caliber. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous amount of work being put into it, mm-hmm. you know, and there's something to be interpreted, but it's mm-hmm. not interpreted as, was that creative? Was that art? Did it come from a place of discipline? Mm-hmm. You know, like Tess does a really good job of finding the artist, even if it is extremely experimental, it is based in deep discipline. And that's something that we've always been really, really proud of, you know.
That makes me happy to hear that. I'm like,
but it's true, you know, like, you know, sometimes you walk on stage and it's, I'm not saying bad, nothing bad against anyone. But sometimes, you know, you leave a show going, whoa, you know, like, you know, or worse yet, you forget it immediately.
Oh, yeah, that
you
is
know?
Worse.
And
yeah.
I can say that that's not the case with these shows. You're not going to forget them. Mm-mm. You know, there's a tremendous amount of work being done. And, you know, we're not even at full capacity yet. You know, like we're only going into our fifth season now. And, you know, as a nonprofit, which I don't know if I mentioned before, like for instance, for Tessa's residency programs, they're here for free. We give them as much tech support as possible, and then they keep the ticket sales. You know, we can't pay them yet, but that's as close, not yet, but that's as close as we can get. When we sell fine art out of the gallery, the last sculpture exhibition was all women welders behind the mask. You know, we sold five pieces. And that's, you know, for sculpture, that's not easy to do. Again, New York, no space. People don't have room for sculptures. And the artists keep 100% of the sales. We don't take a commission. So when I say we're here to support the artists, we really are doing our best. The staff is really working hard to make sure that that is what's happening. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that Joe, I think we're the only art gallery in New York, let alone the world, that doesn't take a commission on fine art sales. I would say the world, but I'm going big with that one.
That is also incredible. That is fantastic. I want to snowball on that. And I would love to know, Edge, I'm going to start with you on this, with not only the theater, but just all the art happening at your location. What can audiences expect from the 2024 season?
Diversity. You know, we really are, again, you know, we're presenting every medium we can get our hands on, from magic, right, to music, to straight theater, to musicals, rock opera. It runs the gamut, you know. You know, since we opened, again, we're going into our fifth season, we've had 168 theatrical performances. We had 368 indoor and outdoor concerts, 80 comedy shows, 36 dance performances, 57 artists in residence. I can keep going. Not to mention, we also support, you know, community stuff. So the nonprofits in the area get to use us, like PS78 across the street, PS384. These schools and other nonprofits use our space for their own initiatives, their own fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And
we, even on top of that too, Andrews, we also have outdoor festivals, right? So we have an Indonesian night market. We have a Taiwan food festival, Venezuelan, Caribbean, you know, like we are Queens. We're the world's borough. And hence all of our programming, both, you know, be it a food festival to a dance thing to a theater thing, we try to bring the world into our programming.
Right. I mean, I think I went off track of your question a little bit, but so what could people expect? So Culture Lab, you come here, especially on the weekends. We're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but especially on the weekends, you come here, you walk into the parking lot, there's something going on. There might be a marching band playing Lady Gaga, it might be a reggae, might be rap, right? You come into the front gallery, we have a lobby, we sell beer and wine. You go into the art gallery, that's exhibition number one. You go down our hallway, exhibition number two. You go into the backspace where we have the L stage and the theater, and there's another art exhibition back there where there might be comedy, there might be a play, there might be a dance performance. So when you come here, there's just multiple things going on. It's a great date night.
Yeah, exactly. You can spend your whole day with us and then keep going into the evening, right? We also this year, Andrew, as part of our programming for this season is what to expect is we started our After Dark Culture Lab After Dark. And that's our little, you know, more adult programming. We have our drag, our burlesque, and our comedy, our stand-up comedy, which not all three of those may or may not be safe for your kids. I guess that depends on your parenting choices. But, you know, that's an initiative we just started this year that we've been talking about, which is exciting for us.
That is all amazing. You have now just sold me even more by having a food, you know, throwing the element of food. And I was like, wait, what? You have a who and a huh? You know, that is
By popular demand for outdoors, we're bringing back the grilled cheese.
Well, my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to your season? And I want to also broaden this to Culture Lab in general with all the dynamic works that you do. So, Tess, I'd like to start first with you on that.
Really, we want everybody, Andrew. Is that everybody? But
who are you trying to reach? Everyone.
Buddy. But I think sort of like what we touched base on a little bit before is hoping to reach different communities that, you know, would maybe not have attended like a theater show like we've been talking about, right? I'm hoping we can have some folks kind of show up for their first theater show at Culture Lab. I think that would be very exciting. And also, you know, I talked about my immersive theater, indie theater background. I've run Exquisite Corpse Company since 2012. We're an interdisciplinary immersive theater company. And I really hope that we get some more immersive folks out as well for this year. And, you know, reaching, I think our age range is pretty broad.
Right? it really is. Yeah. I mean, I think what I would like to expand onto is to build bridges into the communities that normally might not travel. So we're right down the street from Ravenswood, which is the fifth largest projects in the country. Mm-hmm. And a little bit further down the road is Queensbridge, which is the largest projects in the country. Mm-hmm. And we just hosted an art exhibition with them, but we want to build, you know, Court Square is half a mile away, but it seems like a really far distance. So to build bridges into communities that might not normally be traveling just to see art, you know, we would love to connect more closely. And God, you know, Queens, but in particular, Long Island City is one of the fastest growing neighborhoods in the country for like years now, right? We're building more units, more people are moving to the area. The Asian community is the fastest growing demographic in the city, if not the country. I'm not certain about the country part, but for the city, you know, so to have programming specifically to attract people from these different neighborhoods, you know.
Yeah,
to be
absolutely.
The hub.
Yeah, we want to be the hub. Some people call us Culture Hub too, which is fun. So yeah, we're the lab, we're the hub.
Well, on the the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I know we're a little short on time, but I can't let you both go without asking my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
My favorite memory is I used to do a Wild West stunt show in Tucson, Arizona, called the Dragoon Street Players. They're still there. And it's outside, and it's a dirt street with a Wild West front and bleachers, and we were rained out. There was literally puddles of water, and a man and his, I don't know, six-year-old son came, and he's like, oh, you're rained out. My little boy wanted to see the Cowboys so badly, and we were, it's a three-person show, and we all looked at each other, and it's like, man, anytime the actors outnumber the audience, you know, and especially, we performed the entire show to a man and his little boy sitting in the front row of the bleachers under an umbrella while we were completely covered in mud. And the look on their face, two people, like, it's still, I mean, to this day, it still gives me goosebumps. It was just one of those really special, special moments that doesn't go away, you know? I hope that kid remembers.
Yeah, we should find him.
What an amazing
That kid better remember that show.
Yeah. That is an amazing memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. I got 50 from Culture Lab, but you know.
Oh, I mean, it was, love that too.
Tune into the book, right?
How much time you got? I can keep going.
It's funny that the favorite memories, like what immediately also came to my mind, are like these memories of hardship. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like that's wild that that showed up.
Totally.
Yeah. But I guess one of my favorite theater memories was, well, again, it was my first directing show in New York City. And it was an immersive retelling of the Odyssey. It was called Odyssey. And it was set inside an abandoned hospital basement. There were six different rooms that I had worked with six different installation and fine artists to design these different worlds, right? And we're talking like these people put like their hearts and souls into these things. And the night before, it had gotten hot, and so we had the AC on, and we had this one room that we filled with, you know, fog, and of course the AC triggers the fire alarm, right? And the audience thinks it's part of the show because it's an immersive show. And the actors are like, I guess we're going to keep going. And the suitors in this show were a band. They were these musicians. The Harmonica Lewinskys were that night. And one of them is a fireman. And so I ran to him. I was like, please, can you talk to the fireman? Like, where you're like, you know, we only have one scene left. I know, it's bad.
No, that's...
But we're awesome. Keep going. The firemen walk through the show. I'm like, they just got to finish it. They finish. The firemen are like, that was so inappropriate. You should have finished the show. But the audience was like, that was the best show I've ever seen. Like the firemen coming in at the end when Odysseus is reunited with, you know, Penelope is amazing. And I was like, absolutely amazing. So
yeah, see, the firemen deserved a credit.
We should have booked them every night.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, like hardship is what makes it worthwhile. If it's not hard, it's not worth doing,
right? Well, you don't care, then why do it?
you know I paraphrase David Bowie, but he says you got to swim out until you can't feel the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's why some of the hardship stories mean the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, I would never endanger anybody's life in a burning building, for real. Like, everyone, please don't take that away from this story.
You know,
like, I shouldn't have shared that. They don't trust me now.
It wasn't real fire.
It wasn't. Fire. Yeah, there was. If it was real
that
fire,
an amazing memory though. Thank you both for fantastic memories. I'm loving this. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or Culture Lab have any other upcoming projects or productions that we can plug for you?
How long you've got, Andrew? Do you want to hear the whole rundown how soon of projects? I mean, obviously come out. Tonight's opening is Shattered, our fine art show. And in collaboration with Shattered, the Fine Art Show, we have an installation that is directly about music as a healing art form. And there are going to be some activations by that artist, Angelica. Both, one is a concert. There's yoga, a free yoga class for moms and kids on Mother's Day, and a yoga class as well inside. So there's, I could go on.
Yes, some,
oh, the open market. Call. Oh, the night market. We have on May 11th, we have Taiwan Food Fest. So Andrew, I know you'll want to come out for that one. Following weekend, we have Indonesian night market. That's going to be also a delicious, fun evening outside. We have our awesome concert series every Saturday. Just come by for a concert, then stroll inside, catch the art gallery, come to the back in May. It'll be Third Law with their show. And then, you know, really looking towards the fall for a lot of theater coming up. I will say, and this is, I know, theater podcasts related, so I will say for everyone in the theater community to stay in touch with Culture Lab and to follow us on Instagram. We're at Culture Lab LIC. And we do have we have our annual Emergence Artist Residency, which is our residency program that I touched on briefly, that these new works that people are working on culminate in the New Works Festival here at Culture Lab in the fall. So that's an awesome opportunity. And that will be going up later this year for folks to come and check out. And then I'd also say, if you're a fine artist, you know, many of our artists are interdisciplinary, as we've covered, right? You can be a theater artist and a painter. We have an open call right now for Say It Loud, Unsung Heroes. It's an exhibition that features and really celebrates our LGBTQ queer heroes. And these can be historical, they can be familial, they can be, you know, that person on the street that you always loved, or they can also be a mythological. So there's really a diverse range of opportunities to get involved. And I'd plug, you know, people submitting for that one too. That application ends on May 15th.
And then come out and see Third Law.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're loading in right now. The tech that they're loading in looks amazing. The team is organized and working hard. It's really going to be an experience.
And dare I say, each show will be unlike the other. So.
Love that. Yes, we are very excited about Third Law happening. I cannot wait to see it. Well, you've kind of answered my final question, but I'm going to ask it in case there's any others. But if our listeners want more information about Culture Lab, LIC, or about the 2024 season, or even about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Well, if you want to know more about us, we actually have some staff interviews that are on our YouTube channel. You can check them out. Each one of our staff gave an interview. Mm-hmm. But we're across all platforms. We are Culture Lab LIC. So it's really easy to find us. Following the website, getting on the newsletter is definitely the strongest. Mm-hmm. And so social media is really up to date. You know, we're really proud of our marketing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just find us online, follow us.
And Edjo, you have a personal Instagram that people can follow as well.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me, Edjo Wheeler. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you can follow me, Tess Howsam, at Tess Howsam. So Howsam, like Mary.
Wonderful. Well, Tess, Edjo, thank you both so much for your time today, for chatting with me, not only about this amazing art space that you have, but also about this incredible upcoming season that's happening. This has been so wonderful. I look forward to visiting the venue for the first time next week, for the first of many. Everything you have going on gets me excited as a theater goer and as an arts goer. So thank you both so much again for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now we owe you a beer and a grilled cheese.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
Winning. My guests today have been the artistic director, Tess Howsam, and the founding executive director, Edjo Wheeler, who were with Culture Lab LIC. They stopped by today to talk about their 2024 season, as well as all the other ongoing things happening at Culture Lab LIC. You can get tickets for the event and more information by visiting their website, culturelablic.org. And we also have some other contact information for our guests that we'll be putting in the episode description, as well as on the social media posts. So make sure you head over to their website, culturelablic.org. Check out the events going on, get your tickets, get out there, support this great organization. This truly is a beautiful community art space. So you want to get out and support it. Again, it's Culture Lab LIC, culturelablic.org. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.